Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Truth will not be silenced. Today is Monday, May 17th, 2021, or as I like to say, 1979, except it's worse. It's worse than the 70s were, late 70s, Carter era, stagflation. Remember that. And it's going to get much worse before it even gets better if we let it. Folks, we do have the ability to change history. And I suggest we do just that by changing history. Please go to and bookmark HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. Two N's on Hagman. HagmanReport.com. Some new information up there. Some critically important information up at HagmanReport.com. And also HagmanStore.com. Folks, did you know? Yes, today, I just finished shipping out, a whole bunch of books that were ordered today. They did come in as scheduled, and in the dark of night. Now, this is an advanced review copy. That's why you see a stripe across the top there. Not the red, but the white. You can barely see it. But the actual ones came in today. And folks, if you want to, you can purchase it on Amazon or at the Hagman store. Actually, we're backlogged at the Hagman store, so I would suggest Amazon unless you want a personalized copy. More coming in the coming days, and about a week from now, there will be additional books coming in to fulfill the initial spate of orders. But, folks, I've already, this book is already in six countries. That's right. And Amazon, I got a 4.8 rating on Amazon. Although it's new. So, you know, so I would ask this. If you, after reading this book, post an honest review at Amazon. All right? That's all I ask. And tell others about this book. Because if you want to know the inner workings of what goes on with people like Craig Sawyer, the real people that really fight against child and human sex trafficking, and what it's really like in the background, what it's really like, this is, in my view, this is a book for you. This is based on actual, inspired by actual events. Names have been changed. Of course, I take on a specific character, Mark Stiles, but nonetheless, I'm working a case from 1987 in this. And, you know, I had no idea about back then about spirit cooking and about, what's known as Pizzagate, but that's erroneously named. That's named after, or references, or should reference the, It's improperly named, but nonetheless, it was active back then. All right, so that's that. And I appreciate all the comments about this book. We had a great Patreon meeting last night, and I mean a great one. I was actually listening in the initial part of the meeting, listening to the discussions back and forth. And you know, I don't want. Here's the thing: we cannot lose hope. Okay, we have to work every single day. I mean, grind away. I just put our shoulder into that pylon and just keep going and going and going and fight these communist bastards wherever they are. And that's right. I don't care if it's the FBI, the infiltrated FBI. And I can say that because I was an operational asset for the FBI back in the 1990s. As a matter of fact, the book just came out by a former police officer and former judge, actually. I'll talk later about that or separately about that. It was published, I think, about a month ago or 3-4 weeks ago. Anyway, it's on Amazon, and I don't have the book right in front of me, but there's two chapters in there about judicial corruption and the corruption about or within the, within the various levels of government. And back in the, now that recounts some things I did back in the 1990s that, resulted in, a bunch of arrests and such. But anyway, that was written by another author, Dom DiPaolo. And, it's a great book, actually. Now him and I, we are absolutely diametrically opposite, polar opposites in terms of our politics. But one thing that I can guarantee you, and there are still some people out there, you know, with D's after their name, right? Okay. They still have a sense of justice. So you can't throw the entire pool of people away, you know. However, the vast majority don't. I know him as a stand-up guy, and but I was very interested to see that. And with after that came out, let me tell you, okay, it buckle the old seatbelts here, Eric the Tech, because he names names. He names names, and oh boy, does he name names, living and dead. So I had to, what I had to do, I had to tighten up security. I should have grabbed that book nonetheless, just to show you. Yeah, anyway, it's very interesting. All right. Got a great show lined up for you today. Very important information to pass along to you. Please keep your ear, keep your eyes to this, platform for the next, 120 minutes. Do we have John with us? All right, John Moore, the ever-patient John Moore, is with us. I didn't send him in the outline. I do have an outline of the show. I want to play a video clip, and then there's certain subjects that I'd like to get into, and then, of course, I want to discuss it with John, and then whatever John wants to get into. But, John, how are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, Doug. Yeah. Good to be here. Thank you.
Good to have you, and thanks for your patience as I was late for the date, late to the mic.
Well, I had a teenage daughter, so I have a lot of patience. We both managed to live through the experience.
Well,
unless you've actually had a teenage daughter, you don't have a clue what I'm talking
about. Oh, believe me, I do. Yes, yes. Okay. Hey, John, we can't hear you too well. What do you want to do, Eric the Tech? What does that mean? You want us to reconnect or what? Your mic's not working. You were picking up your computer audio.
Okay.
So, all right. I'm gonna scratch my head while we just sit here. Let's reconnect if you don't mind, and then we'll start again. We'll reconnect. All right. All right. In the meantime, while Eric is getting that resolved, the CDC admitted. Now, some 223 people have died because of COVID-1984, despite being fully vaccinated. Now, understand those words, okay? This is not from adverse reactions to the jab. This is 223 people have died with COVID-1984, with the Chinese Communist Party virus, after being fully jabbed, right? Or, in their words, vaccinated. Just saying. All right. Now, the mask, the CDC released the mask mandates. And I got to tell you something. I want to talk to John about this, too. I got a real issue with that. Okay. No. I mean, I'm fine with it. But I have a real question about the timing. Because, you know, the left of the people say, well, we're not going to take away the mandate until 70% of the people are fully vaccinated. And yet the CDC comes out and says, okay, now's okay. See, and I know John, I know John because and folks, his website, thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. That's right, the man, the myth, the legend. Okay, so I know John, and I know that he's a guy that looks at all of the details, okay? And as a homicide, current homicide investigator, I'm going to tell you something. He looks at the details like I do, and he asks questions like I do. And when people do things, we ask questions like, why? Okay. When things don't sound or feel or appear right, we want to know why. So, before I get into the rest, let me just ask you, because of this quote mask, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. And no one can ask you really if you've got the jab. it's kind of like the on the honor system. John, why now? Especially in the face of that, what's her face from the CDC? I'm trying to remember her name. Walensky, I believe it is, saying, well, you know, I wear a mask all the time and whatever. Okay. And then double talking. And then all of a sudden, bang, you know, CDC says, okay, you know, we'll just let this go. And I was out on Saturday. I made a deliberate point because I was making fun of guys out there wearing masks. I was. My wife was, oh man, my wife was just, she wanted to throw a butterfly net over my head. Okay. And, you know, like put a sock in my mouth and shut me up. She was just beside herself because I was out there, you know, making fun of the guys who are following the women, you know, their wives around wearing masks and the kids. I was yelling, child abuse. Look at this. I said, look at this child abuse with the kids. Look at this child abuse. And she's like, shut up. Bam, bam, bam. Shut up. People were laughing. My wife wasn't, but people were laughing. I was making scenes everywhere I went. But John, why now?
That's a good question, Doug. Well, we may never know the answer.
Okay. Now. Wait a second, brother. Brother, I got to stop you. Your mic's still not working. I don't know what the heck's going on with you, with your mic system.
Well, I don't know either.
Hang on a second. It might be an input setting according to Eric the Tech or something like that. Folks, talk amongst yourselves while we work this out. What do you think now, bro? Any clicking things? I'm going to have a sip of coffee. Look at this. Home is where the dog is.
1, 2, 3. Mm. The show's okay at my end. Microphone working on my end.
I hate computers. I do. Give me a friggin' rotary dial phone and a 8-track cassette and I'm fine. Okay. Eric the Tech has got his head buried in a whole bunch of equipment over there, so I don't know what he's doing. Will people be able to hear him if he talks? No. Well, then that's no good. I can hear him barely, but that's no good. Okay.
When we connect with him, the connection feed is loud, but when his audio is low, very low.
Okay, so the connection, well, I don't even know what that means, except you know what that means. So I don't want to, like, have a bunch of dead air, Eric the Tech. If you're done with your Tripoli, let me know. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, folks. I'm kidding. Say what? All right. While we work this out, here's what we're going to do. While we work this out. Easy now. Down boy. All right. John, maybe you can take a look at this while we work this out as well. The left, the communist left, they are afraid. Now, this, I'm going to wrap this all up in a big bow, John and I are. I know we were just talking about the mask thing and the question is why and the CDC and all this stuff. But we're going to switch topics here, and you're going to see how all of this kind of comes together by the end of our time together with John. And even the Bill Gates scenario, given the fact that if you don't know what I'm talking about, of course he was asked to leave. But we're going to wrap this all together. But take a look at this video. The left is scared. What is taking place now in Maricopa County? Maricopa County is having an audit of a forensic audit, not a recount, not a, well, let's take a look, you know, and count a selection of ballots. Oh, no. And they're not looking for friggin' bamboo fibers. They're not looking for, okay, they're looking for kinetic marks on the paper, and they're looking at the paper. They're looking at a whole bunch of other things. But this from Steve Bannon. Let's go to this clip. It's 5 minutes, and hopefully within that 5 minute period of time, we can unscrew whatever's screwed up with our connection with John. Watch this. Oh, great! Now Steve's not
thousand ballots that are illegal, and not even with the machines in the databases. Just good old fashioned. They stole it the old fashioned way. That is a shot heard around the world. You don't think the Financial Times of London is going to have to deal with that. You don't think the Economist is going to have to deal with that. You don't think the Party of Davos is going to have to deal with that. Because from Arizona, we're going to Georgia. We're going to Michigan. We're going to Pennsylvania. We're going to Wisconsin. We're going to New Hampshire and Nevada and Montana. All of it. You can't have democracy until you have democracy. This is just like this commission. We want this commission. Bring the commission on every time we get a place to adjudicate something. Now that the Senate in Arizona said to do it, we can adjudicate it in an official proceeding, right? They can't deplatform you because it's an official proceeding. They're going to have to eat it, and they know it. Why do you think CBS News took it last night? Watch CBS News. You want to see the counters and how terrified they are? They're looking for bamboo. They're looking for ultraviolet. This is all QAnon.
More than 6 months after the 2020 election, an unusual audit has begun in Phoenix. Workers hired by Arizona Republicans have been going over more than 2 million ballots. CBS's Chris Van Cleave takes us inside this audit that many are calling simply bizarre.
Across from the Crazy Times Carnival, inside an arena known as the Madhouse, the 2020 presidential election is being recounted. An unprecedented partisan audit of Arizona's most populous county that could ripple across the country. The GOP-controlled state Senate seized 2.1 million ballots, turning them over to a company run by a Trump supporter. Ken Bennett is overseeing the audit.
This has nothing to do with going back and trying to change the results of the November 2020 election. This is only about identifying whether we have some strengths and weaknesses in our election processes.
Workers have used UV lights to check for watermarks on ballots, a QAnon conspiracy claim. Others are said to be looking for bamboo fibers as proof votes were smuggled in from Asia.
If that didn't happen, then we will dispel that.
Do you really think thousands of ballots were flown in from Asia?
No.
Okay.
I don't personally, but there are a lot of people that do.
Answer the question. We've already come up with, you see how you stole it? You got 17% less real ballots there already. That's a handcount. That comes from the supervisor. Supervisors, what did the supervisor's letter say back? This is dangerous. The supervisor to the Senate. You bet it is. It's damn dangerous to this Marxist revolution. Because you know what we're going to do? We're going to go back and we're going to count throughout this nation, every legal, certifiable, chain of custody vote. And then we're going to see who won on November 3rd. Mm-hmm. Okay? And then, guess what? The nation's going to have to deal with that. Okay? So this is not about laws for 2022. This is not, no, Kevin McCarthy, come out of the White House. Oh, I don't think everybody's, no, Kevin McCarthy, you are very dead wrong. And that is why Liz Cheney's been sent to early retirement and Elise Stefanik, and I don't care about Elise Stefanik's vote on taxes. It doesn't matter. She's got our back on November 3rd. That's the only thing that matters. That and Wuhan. You get to the bottom of it, it all crumbles. All of their lies, all of their misrepresentations, all of their control, it collapses. Fauci, the entire thing in Wuhan, and November 3rd on the deck plates in Arizona. And who's delivering that? And they had to get that. By the way, CBS at the end of it cut to that. It was pure Tea Party, Trump movement, patriots, right?
Trump supporters holding on to baseless claims of a stolen election gathered at the State House Thursday urging the Senate to finish the count.
The Maricopa County forensic audit of the 2020 election is once again in the spotlight, this time with auditors claiming to have found major issues with the way election officials have handled ballots. This, according to a letter written by the Arizona State Senate President to the Board of Supervisors. The letter states that the audit team has discovered numerous omissions, inconsistencies, and anomalies relating to the county's handling, organization, and storage of ballots. The letter lists off some of these issues, which include the following allegations. The Senate says that the county has not provided any chain of custody documentation for the ballots. They say the bags in which the ballots were stored are not sealed. Batches within a box are frequently separated by only a divider without any indication of the corresponding batch numbers. And in some cases, the batch dividers are missing altogether. In addition, according to the letter, the audit team has found on numerous occasions that the actual number of ballots in a batch doesn't match the total number recorded on the report of each batch. And in most cases, the report total is more than the total number of ballots that are in the batch. The Senate is demanding answers from the Board of Supervisors, which they hope will be provided during a meeting at the Capitol on May 18th.
Subscribe to the Dummy Funnies now!
All right. Now I'm going to tell you something. All right. That the left, the conspirators, the Marxist, manic Marxist, morons in this country, they are scared witless over the findings of this particular audit. And it's going to, as Bannon said, look, it's going to go to Michigan. It's going to go to Wisconsin. It's going to come to Pennsylvania. It's going to go to Georgia. It's going to go everywhere it needs to go. And the lies that comprise the left, the China, Communist Chinese Party virus, those lies, Fauci's lies, damn contemptible Fauci, as well. He's going to be exposed. The election of the coup that took place on November 3rd is going to be exposed. And we are part and parcel to the exposure. We are going to be part of exposing that. John Moore, the Liberty Man, is part and parcel to the exposure of these lies every single day. That's why they are afraid of us. That's why they mess with us. That's why they don't want us to be on social media. That's why they don't like us. That's why they'll fly by and throw negative comments and negative reviews and, oh, this guy's a bunch of, you know, this is information, a bunch of crap. We are going to prevail and take our country back. All right. Did we get John set up here? Maybe. Let's see. John, are you there? Is this thing
on? All right. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello. I'm here.
Well, what's the verdict? Talking. There you are. And you know what? You're looking good today.
Well, thank you. Can you hear me?
We can. I can. Can you hear us? Let's see.
Eric, that's the real question.
Yes. Can the people hear us? Eric. Okay. Eric said, I think we got it, man.
Okay. Great.
All right. All right. So what do you think, brother? What do you think about all this?
Try and get myself centered on the picture here.
Yeah. Other center.
A little bit more. There we go.
Nice American flag back there, crisp, fresh.
The time delay is really a bit concerning there on this video. Okay. Well, what do I think? First of all, let's look at who Steve Bannon is. He's one of the rather short list of people who was part of the Trump administration for a while, obviously on a first-name basis with President Trump, obviously connected to a lot of very important people in a lot of very important places.
Yep.
So Steve Bannon has a lot of credibility. I'm going to put him in the same category as Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow. Men at certain levels have access that normal human beings like you and I, Doug, don't have. Access to people, access to documents, access to information. Mike Lindell is stating publicly that President Trump will return to office before the year is over.
Yeah, I heard that.
Now, Steve Bannon didn't say that, but the consequences of these election matters being looked into in the same manner that they are in Arizona will obviously lead to the same result, President Trump being returned to office. There's no precedence in our 200-plus year history of our republic, not a democracy, a republic. There's no precedence for this ever happening, obviously. Constitutional scholars and attorneys and so forth will be scrambling to resolve what took place last November. But all things being equal, once these elections are proven to be fraudulent, once it's proven that President Trump won by an overwhelming majority, possibly the largest majority in a century or more, they'll have no choice except to put the man back in office. Now, I have concerns about President Trump, and I'm saying that as a very strong Trump supporter, a man who was offered the position of being in charge of a Trump PAC back in 2019 before all this silliness started. And mainly has to do with his stance on the COVID vaccines, which are not vaccines.
I agree.
Now, if you listen carefully to what President Trump says, he's making it clear in his statements about COVID vaccines that it's a matter of personal decision to get them or not get them. He's not saying absolutely get them. He's not giving an absolute support for them. So that tells me that he's intentionally making sure people know it's a personal choice to get them or not get them. Now, I've heard and read that President Trump and his wife have both received COVID shots. I don't know that for a fact. Do you know if he and his wife have received the COVID shots, Doug, yourself?
I know that people believe he did. I know that he presented himself as having... the wording was odd, okay? I don't know, to be honest with you, if he came right out and said, oh, yeah, I received the jab. Because remember, he did have... he was exposed
he had
to
the COVID.
Exactly.
He had the COVID.
Right.
Right. And he recovered from it. Which means, typically, it would mean he would have, immunity to getting that. So why would he bother getting it? I've been characterizing the COVID shot as the biggest danger to the planet, since they want everybody except people in the most remote regions of the Amazon jungle, which is not a rainforest. It's a jungle, by the way, to get the COVID shots. And it seems like each week, Doug, there's a new revelation about a new, previously unknown danger to the COVID. I just read this morning the possibility of prions in the shot leading to mad cow disease in human beings, which basically turns your brain to mush. And it's just, the list just goes on and on. I like to refer people to Dr. Mike Yaden, the former chief medical researcher at Pfizer, former vice president at Pfizer, who just flat out says that the COVID vaccines are part of a worldwide depopulation effort. Once again, credibility. We talked a moment ago about the credibility of Steve Bannon, credibility of Mike Lindell. When it comes to matters involving vaccines, once you've been the chief medical researcher at Pfizer and vice president at Pfizer, your career path doesn't have very much more upward mobility. You're at the top of the top. We have some excellent doctors like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, excellent, wonderful doctor, and others who are warning us. There's a however coming. However, they don't have the credibility of Dr. Yaden. As good as they are, as smart as they are, as well educated as they are, Dr. Yaden has spent his entire adult life developing what he believes to be safe and effective vaccines. He's a big supporter of vaccines. And when somebody like that goes public and says, these vaccines are going to kill people, it's time to wake up and smell the coffee, Doug. It really is. I had a caller this morning, a taxi driver up in Maine, Stewart from Maine, and he attempts to educate people when he gives them a taxi ride. He's got a captive audience for 10, 15 minutes, maybe an hour. And he said he's apparently convinced a few people. And that's saving lives, Doug. And that's one of the things you and I are about, and that's one of the things alternative media is about, is saving lives. And so I want to encourage all our listeners, Doug, to educate themselves about the COVID vaccine. We got four articles and videos at my website featuring Dr. Mike Yaden at thelibertyman.com. Dozens and dozens of other articles and videos by well-qualified doctors and scientists. But we've made the Dr. Mike Yaden interviews and videos very prominently number one, and highlighted in yellow at my website in our COVID updates at thelibertyman.com.
I love it. And those are very important, folks. If you go to, not if, go to thelibertyman.com. The link is in the program description box at HagmanReport.com for this episode. And click on that link, and it'll take you to John's website, but it's thelibertyman.com. And look at, there it is right there on your screen. How good is that, Eric? That's great. Look at the news items. Yeah, you're 100% right. You're correct on this. And you know, the further we dig into this, okay, so there's a couple of issues here as I see it. Okay, you've got, what you have up there. But in addition to that, you've got Fauci, I have got, video of Fauci back in the early 80s talking about HIV AIDS. Okay, I don't know if you remember poppers back then, big in the homosexual community. It's a male nitrate. Of course, he said, oh, there's no, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds on this. But anyway, what Fauci did with the HIV/AIDS, is I'm not sure how well versed you are in that, but the fraud. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about.
Well, let me help you out here, Doug.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. Well, first of all, during the AIDS epidemic back in the early 1980s, Dr. Fauci was in charge of the national response. So, HIV, immune response virus, HIV/AIDS, is at the time, a 100% fatal illness. And we did not have quarantines. Now, at the time, I was working in a law office, working on various murder cases and other matters. And I said to the attorneys I work with, how can this be? How can we have a communicable disease that's 100% fatal and nobody's being quarantined? How can that be? And of course, nobody had a response. Now, fast forward to 15, 16 months ago. We have a disease that may kill 2 or 3% of the people who get it. And we have 100% quarantine, including people who aren't even sick. Now, that's about as opposite as two things can be, Doug. We have many centuries of human beings dealing with various illnesses that kill people, pandemics, if you will. And what we've done and what works and what's worked for many centuries is to quarantine the sick people. That's what we do. That's what works. There's no precedence for putting healthy people in quarantine, especially when you look at who's doing it. The same guy who did not put people with a communicable 100% fatal disease into quarantine. He didn't do that. And there's no explanation to this day except it wasn't politically correct to put homosexuals into quarantine. And that's the only reason I've ever heard, Doug. Have you ever heard anything else?
No. And that's, yes, that's a great, that whole, what you just said.
Usually we talk about analogies. This is not analogy. This is history.
It's history. And it's recorded history. What, people don't think that this stuff survives on the internet? Thank you. It's recorded history. Go on. I mean,
well, the big question for me, Doug, is why in the world did President Donald J. Trump not fire Fauci?
Well,
at the beginning of this.
That's a really great question. Tell me why. Why do you think that is?
I can't think of any reasonable explanation. Nothing that makes any sense. Now, Donald Trump got caught up also in this whole thing about the respirators long after it was proven by very well-qualified scientists and doctors that all the respirators do is make things worse and kill people. But he still hung on, and actually fairly recently, taking pride in getting General Motors and other companies to shut down other things they were doing to make respirators. Wrong. So, President Trump can take pride in shutting down air travel from China as early as he did and being called a racist and a xenophobe as a consequence. But, keeping Fauci on the payroll. Now, I understand there's legislation in Congress right now that will be retroactive, limiting a person in Fauci's position to 12 years total employment. A bit too late. Way too late.
Here's, as I'm putting these pieces together, John, and tell me if we could be on the right track here. Zero Hedge just had an article today, about, additional stimulus checks going out with families that have small children. You know, you can get up to like $3,000 plus a month, on a monthly basis, kind of going toward this universal basic income. And the whole pretext or the pretense for this payment is the catastrophic economic downturn from the Chinese Communist Party virus. So when you start putting this stuff together, I mean, I gotta tell you, I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, okay, why didn't President Trump fire Fauci? Of course, that would have been how the media is. That would have been a media nightmare, but it was still a media nightmare regardless. So exactly. So what? Yeah. I mean, I look at Trump and I think, damned if you do, damned if you don't. I mean, you're, you know.
Well, him and a scarf lady, Burks, they both needed to be fired. The scarf lady and Burks.
Let's take kind of a left turn if we can. Just a slight turn here. Have you seen this? I don't know why this isn't front page news on every flipping newspaper and front page and front, leading off in every story, but Fauci's wife is the National Institute of Health Chief of Bioethics and Human Subjects Research. That means she's the one who rubber stamps exceptions to the normal drug and vaccine testing. Okay, so, I mean, think about it. And, you know, the question is, why do these guys all marry dudes? All right? I'm just saying. Maybe that's a mean thing to say, but that aside, the fact... All right, Eric, don't throw that stuff at me. Okay. The fact that this woman is in a position that essentially rubber stamps what the NIH does and what Fauci tells his wife to do, this is... I mean, why aren't... Well, I know why, but... This should be plastered everywhere. I mean, for the love of everything that's holy on this planet. Just saying. So I thought I'd throw that in there. I don't know whether you saw that before or not.
I had not seen that, but the people we want in those positions should be people who are making decisions that have no conflicting interests.
Yeah.
Fauci is stands to gain and already has gained tremendously. Financially, from what's going on with the COVID matter. There's lots of evidence showing Fauci's involvement in creating COVID-19. This is more evidence, the fact that his wife is in this high-level position of trust and responsibility, in a position to make sure that what her husband wants gets done, is very alarming and very disturbing, Doug. And it shouldn't be tolerated. What comes to mind is our basic system of government, which divides up into three branches that one can't control the other. Power sharing between three branches, executive, judicial, and legislative. You know, within the NIH, they should have a separation of powers also, so that one entity can't get everything they want rubber stamped by a person that they're related to by blood or marriage. That's wrong on the face of it. It's just too much at stake, too much at risk to have that kind of relationship between a husband and wife in those two positions of power.
You know what, John, you are absolutely correct. Now, this came out early this morning, and so you're talking about relationships and positions, okay? Obviously, you've got this marital position between Fauci and Mr. or Mrs. or whatever Fauci, NIH, rubber stamping, you know, his wife rubber stamping things for the NIH. Okay, now, buckle up, folks. And John, I don't know whether you saw this, the National Pulse, Mike McCormick, what a fantastic investigative reporter, revealed White House visitor logs reveal Fauci Klain situation room meeting after gain of function moratorium. This goes back to 2014. Now Klain is the guy, is Biden's current chief of staff. So he's the guy that does everything that Susan Rice and Barack Hussein Satoru Obama tells him to do. Okay. So this, now getting into this, John, according to the National Pulse, when they reviewed the White House visitor logs from November of 2014, so that's six and a half years ago, it reveals a meeting in the White House Situation Room chaired by then Ebola czar Ron Klain, who, again, let me remind people, this guy is the body man for, you know, O'Biden, okay, at the moment. And the meeting appears to have been coordinated by Fauci and included several high-level U.S. government agency heads. And the high-profile summit came just weeks after Barack Hussein Satoru Obama, the illegitimate resident of the United States, issued a moratorium on the gain-of-function experiments. Gain-of-function, every time you see that phrase, just put in weaponization. Okay, that's all you have to do.
Right.
Okay, now... Yet everyone's saying, well, this stuff never happened. You know, we never, I mean, Fauci's up there slamming Rand Paul saying, oh, I'm outraged, Rand Paul. I'm outraged. How dare you? Well, bite me, Fauci, you garden gnome. What's that?
The Monopoly Man.
The Monopoly Man. The money guy. Yeah. So, John, my man, John.
I'm here.
Oh, I'm telling you, you know. So, this, it, the more we dig into this, and we, again, you go back to HIV AIDS, you go back to, and Fauci, there's a video on BitChute, too, that features Fauci, but I've got all kinds of videos of Fauci. And, you know, I just, again, how can people be this stupid? How can people not want to see what they need to see? I don't know. Maybe I had too much coffee today. I don't know. But I mean, it's back to you, I guess, John. Whatever you think.
Okay. Well, the evidence is coming together of the conspiracy going back many years, back to 2014, at least maybe earlier. Give credit where credit is due. Our enemies, that would be the socialists, communists, Democrats, Muslims, they have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C. They probably had, even in 2014, they probably had a pretty good idea that Donald Trump was a threat to the communist plan. And they probably wanted to put one or two plans in place to make sure that Donald Trump would be taken out of office if he was elected into office. Now, these are very bright men and women. They may be socialists, communists, Democrats, Muslims. They may have evil intent, but that doesn't mean they're not smart. And the entire COVID-19 matter has been brilliant to accomplish a number of goals. First of all, to have a pretext to have mail-in ballots, which they wouldn't have otherwise. To destroy the U.S. economy, which was, if everybody recalls, January 2020, we had an economy that was absolutely on fire. The lowest unemployment in all sectors, African Americans, Asian Americans, white Americans, my barefoot hillbilly neighbors, the lowest unemployment rates ever recorded. And it was just going to go up from there. Good relations with North Korea, good relations with in the Middle East, more or less. Things really on a roll on every sector, both geopolitical and nationally here in the United States. They needed and wanted to destroy that. The COVID-19 was the perfect vehicle to accomplish that goal. And they did achieve their goal. They've just about destroyed the U.S. economy. They got their man in the White House, which is actually their woman, Kamala Harris, and we hear Hillary's behind the scenes. Oh, by the way, Doug, we now have Hillary's secret server information on my website. That's there now also.
You know, I saw that, and I was perusing your site earlier. Okay, so do you want to address that? Because, look, that's still a big thing. And I know the lefties out there saying, oh, the server, oh, the emails, Hillary emails. Well, shut up, okay? Because they're important.
Well,
thank you.
It's tens of thousands of emails is what it is, Doug. And, yep. And I have not had the time to start reviewing them myself. I understand they've been categorized, which would help anybody wanting to do some search on them. I owe this to one of my listeners. She's probably listening right now that she got this to me. And thank you very much. So that's there. And it's available for people to review and do their own independent research if they choose to.
The emails are important. And in the current issue of Wisconsin Christian News, folks, if you haven't gone there to sign up and subscribe, get it. And also donate to them because it's a worthy cause. So, speaking of Hillary Clinton's emails, okay. I've got Hunter Biden's hard drives, all right? Or Hunter Biden's hard drive. I've got two copies. And I say that because you want to come and get them, FBI? Well, guess what? I mean, that's probably, no, we'll leave them there. We'll leave them there. So I'm probably, you know, safe from them coming to get me. But you talk about some, like the Hillary Clinton, server information. On Biden's hard drive, I've got 103,199 text messages. Okay. Now think about that number. That's a huge number to go through. 103,199 text messages. I've got over 154,000 emails, and they're not categorized. And I've got over more than 2,000 phone or photos and video files. All right. So, but you know what the big thing is here, and what I believe to be the tie into the Hillary, which you have with Hillary. And I would urge people to go to thelibertyman.com and grab a hold of that. But the big thing here is how they have sold America out. And they, in my view, and this is my personal view, not affiliate or not associated with any broadcast platform, sponsor, guest, or anything. I believe that we should start naming telephone poles after these leftists, because where they're going to hang from after they're convicted of treason. That's just my own personal view. But anyway. But, yeah, they have sold this country out to the communist Chinese and to the highest bidder, basically. To you.
Well, Doug, they have, and there's plenty of evidence of that. The evidence involving the sale of American uranium to Russia, the evidence of giving preferential treatment to the People's Liberation Army to have all kinds of things going on in this country, setting up these energy farms, for windmills and solar panels, the special trade agreements with the Chinese that were very favorable to the Chinese and not favorable to American business, on and on. President Trump was reversing all those things. Now, there's a lot of people who feel President Trump is a deep state person himself. I don't share that belief.
Nor do I.
Deep state. Would not intentionally create somebody who would give them so much trouble, who would slow down their plan, you know, to the point of possibly stopping their plan by putting somebody like General Mike Flynn in as National Security Advisor. You know, they wouldn't do that. They knew exactly who Donald Trump is, and last thing they wanted was Donald Trump in the Oval Office mucking up everything that they've been doing for 70 years to destroy our country. That's the last thing that we want. People say the same thing about Alex Jones. Alex Jones has caused more problems for the New World Order than just about any human being on the planet. I mean, he has, you know?
Yep. Oh, he has.
He has. So there is such a thing as controlled opposition, but Donald Trump and Alex Jones and people like yourself and me, we're not controlled opposition. We're out of control opposition is what we are.
Well, especially today, brother.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So our job here at the Hagman Report is to inform and educate people, help them lead people to verifiable, real evidence that they can absorb, become part of their very being, so they in turn can educate others. That's my goal, and I think you share my goal, don't you, Doug?
Yes, and if I can say this, and I know Bannon had mentioned this as well. You know what I see taking place because of your platform? And folks, listen to The Liberty Man every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I've got to spell it out for anyone who lives in Hattiesburg, or certain people who live in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. So I've got to spell that out. I'm kidding, folks. I could have said San Francisco or whatever. But anyway, look, you're doing through your work, what we're doing is we're motivating people as well and organizing, helping organize people to get out there and to make noise. You know, it's the mothers who are out there, in the PTA getting in the faces of these school boards and saying, you know what? You're full of crap. Get rid of this Common Core crap. Get rid of this, what is that, tell me, I slipped my mind here in my anger. The cultural, what's that thing again?
Systemic racism.
Yeah, yeah, that thing, whatever it's called. Get that crap out of the curriculum. God bless you for going there and standing up and getting in the face of these school boards and saying, not today, not anymore, and taking these school boards over and saying, okay, you're doing this? No, you're not. We're coming in. But it's people like you and I, hopefully, I believe that to be the case, provide the motivation and the information necessary for these people to go in there, especially my daughter's age, okay? They go in there, they've got children, school-age children. Hey, you're not doing this to my kid. No. And that's what you do, and that's what we do. So God bless you, my friend. And folks, thelibertyman.com, the man, the myth, the legend, thelibertyman.com is where to go. And listen every day for information downloads. By the way, I'm going to change topics just a little bit. This is something that you and I didn't talk. You're a military guy. I mean, you got folks. Sean Moore is a military guy. He was there during the Tet Offensive, all right, in Vietnam. I mean, this guy's walked the walk. So, all right, let me ask you this question. If you go on HagmanReport.com, if we don't bring this up, military officers supporting and enabling Marxism. Now, this came out in CD Media today. And it, folks, you got to go to CD Media to read this. Extremely powerful. But we had a discussion yesterday on our Patreon meeting, and we had a discussion about where does the military fall, the current military fall in all of this? Who's commanding the military? Who's, in your view, John, where does the military fall in this? Because this article says this, just very briefly. U.S. military officers betraying their oath to the Constitution and supporting, even just enabling, the Marxist infiltration currently underway in the Department of Defense need to be fully aware the Nuremberg defense will not hold up in a court's martial. Okay, and it goes on to say, every lie will be revealed. You will be held accountable, eventually, with a removal from command. And I don't know whether these folks have seen this over the weekend, end of last week, over the weekend, of Lieutenant Colonel Lohmeyer, USAF, for eloquently warning of this infiltration in his book, Irresistible Revolution. There is no longer any doubt about what is happening. There is no longer any place to hide. And it goes on and asks, do you have no courage? Do you have no honor? Are you being paid? Are you worried about your career? So you turn a blind eye. And so on. If folks read the article at CD Media, link is on the link is at HagmanReport.com. What say you about the military current state and who is running things? Because I don't even have an answer for that.
Okay, well, there is a letter at my website signed by 120 retired flag rank officers. That means admirals and generals. Saying the same thing, that our society, our military, our country is at risk because of what's going on. Keep in mind they were all retired individuals. How many active duty we have? Well, I don't have a clue. I believe Doug wasn't the head of the Space Force relieved of command for making some similar statements.
That's who I referenced in that article.
Well, he's only a lieutenant colonel.
It was, yes, Lieutenant Colonel.
Well, that's a pretty low rank to be in charge of a whole part of the military, but
he wrote a book and then appeared on a broadcast similar to ours, yours and mine, and he explained what his book was about, and then the commander above him, however that works, okay, I don't know, he was a commander. I'm not sure if he was the commander, but a commander.
Like, that would be pretty low to be the commander.
But right.
Lieutenant Colonel is a field grade officer, and that's a lot of a position of great trust and responsibility, to say the least. And I'm disappointed that he was relieved of command, but he did the right thing for the right reasons. He'll be okay. He'll be fine. But the real question, your real question, is where does the military fall in this? Men and women learned decades ago, if they spoke out about something such as the integration of females into the Corps, that their career would be finished. They'd be done. So they they just suck it up and they go on and they do the best they can to deal with it, and still have a career. And the military is populated by men and women who have that attitude. What will they do when it gets down to the real nuts and bolts of dealing with this? I believe the majority of them will do the right thing for the right reasons while they're being politically correct and quiet in the interim. That's my belief, Doug.
Okay. Now, okay. All right. And I trust that to be the case. And you're right. The letter that you have on your website, that came out last week from the flag officers, I believe. Is that the same one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Because that number has climbed, because I posted on my website too. That number has climbed to 317, and it starts out, of course, additional, you know, who's the signers to this. But it says, our nation is in deep peril. We are in a fight for our survival as a constitutional republic like no other time since our founding in 1776. The conflict is between supporters of socialism and Marxism versus supporters of constitutional freedom and liberty. And, man, I couldn't say that any better. That's exactly right. And now, you know, or wait a minute. No, I apologize. You're right, 120, because it does say during the 2020 election, an open letter from senior military leaders was signed by 317 retired generals and admirals, and it said that the 2020 election could be the most important election since our country was founded. With the Democratic Party welcoming socialist and Marxist, our historic way of life is at stake. Unfortunately, the statement's truth was quickly revealed, beginning with the election process itself. Now, okay, so are our enemies, do you think, John, looking at us right now and saying, you know what, they're pliable? China, hey, let's make a move on Taiwan. How about the South China Sea? Russia, let's make a move into Ukraine or Crimea. Well, done deal there. Gaza, I mean, look at the Middle East. I mean, the state of our military, is that reflective of international events at the moment?
Well, for the time being, the communists recognize what's going on as something that will get worse. The U.S. military will just get incrementally weaker with each passing week, each passing month, each passing year, as long as Joe Biden's in office. If there's any clear indication that President Trump will come back in office, that would be the time to strike. As far as the communist, if I was a communist, that's what I would do. Because within 24 hours of President Trump going back in office, you will see an immediate strengthening of the U.S. military in every which way.
I want to talk to you more about that. Okay, because you said this earlier, we kind of just skated by this, because there was some talk last night during our meeting. Do you really think, I mean, in your heart of hearts, now, speculation, but reasoned speculation, do you believe that Donald Trump, there's a possibility that he will, in fact, I know what Lindell said, I know what Lynn Wood said, I know what Sidney Powell said, and Sidney Powell's, no, you spent time with her. She is one smart cookie.
I spent an hour with that woman. She's one of the most brilliant women I've ever met.
That's right, and she wrote License to Lie. I mean, she knows in the ins and outs. So there are a lot of people saying, look, there was no concession by President Trump, which is true, and nor should he concede to this sham of an election, which is why we can't get past November 3rd, nor should we. But do you really think do you think Donald Trump is going to say, or will be installed in some fashion, form, way back into the White House because of the fraud that took place on the 3rd? Do you think that'll happen?
I think there's a strong possibility it could happen. I would like to see it happen. I hope it happens.
I do too.
The course our country is on right now will lead inevitably to the destruction of our republic, and that's the goal. That is the intent. President Trump would begin reversing that within hours of taking office. You think that Joe Biden had a stack of executive orders? Well, President Trump will have a stack of executive orders probably twice that tall that he will be signing if he comes back in office.
But see, that goes back to what you said, though, earlier. In order for that to happen, he was going to have the full military, the military on his side, the President Trump, because this is going to be a kind of a military thing, isn't it, to get him? I know it would go through there's no process for this, but there would, so it would have to be a military style operation, wouldn't it?
Not necessarily. First of all, the states control the elections.
Right.
And where these elections would be reversed, I believe most of them have a red state, the red states with red state governors, the majority of them. We may find some blue state governors that are possibly impeached or taken out of office by their legislatures. There's always a way to remove somebody from office, and that may happen in some of the red states where these election results are overturned. I'm trying to postulate here based on my limited knowledge of how the system works. Well, let's go to Arizona because it's what's on the table right now. Once the process is complete, the authorities in the state of Arizona would notify the appropriate authorities in Washington, D.C., that the electoral votes have been changed. And then I can see the same thing happening in the other states, as Steve Bannon mentioned. The state authorities notifying the people in Washington, D.C., that the Electoral College votes have been changed. There will be no alternative but for the authorities in Washington, D.C., to reverse the Electoral College votes and reverse what's taking place since the first Tuesday of November to remove President Biden from office and install President Donald Trump in office. Now, there'll be court challenges to that. There'll be legislative challenges to that. Of course there will. But I believe that's what would happen, Doug. I don't see the military really playing a part in that. I don't see any need for that right now. I can't imagine what they'd be doing right now.
Wouldn't cities burn? I mean, to your point, look,
Well, that's a separate issue, and of course they would.
Yeah, yeah.
The communists know that 4 more years of Donald Trump, followed by, possibly 8 more years of a Donald Trump clone of some sort. I don't know who that would be offhand. And they're done for a generation.
That's true.
They're finished. They're finished for at least a generation, 20, 25 years from the rebuild what's been destroyed by Donald Trump. And they can't tolerate that. They will resort to violence. The cities will burn. Of course they will. And hopefully President Trump is prepared to deal with that also, and I believe he is.
Yeah, meanwhile, you've got the Southern District of New York. You've got several other judicial areas wanting to indict President Trump on BS matters, you know, on things that, my goodness, that Biden would be, you know, have been indicted 25 gazillion times, already. But you've got that kind of working in the background. I'm just saying that. Now, to what you said earlier about what you've got posted at your website, and go to thelibertyman.com, bookmark that website, John Moore, the web presence of John Moore. Go there and bookmark that website. But General Boykin had come out and made a statement on air about the fact that we are in the final throes of a Marxist revolution. I'd like to play this for you because, again, this is like a two-minute video. Sure. 2 minutes. Here it is, right here. Nope, wait a second. It's buffering right now, but this is really an important thing, and just throw it in over me when it's there.
I say, okay, at least I want you to read the letter. I want you to read what's in there because – if you read that and ponder it, you have to come to the conclusion that things are not good in this country. But second part of that is, look, at this point, I don't care what they think of me. What I want to do is get their attention. You know, I have 6 grandchildren, and it's about their future. It's about what kind of America they're going to grow up in and whether they're going to live in a free society, in a free constitutional republic, or whether they're going to live in a Marxist communist type of government, controlling every aspect of their lives. So yeah, at least when the left is criticizing me,
or criticizing this whole group, at least that means they've read the letter. It means that the average American has read the letter. And whether they know who we are or whether they agree with us or not, it's still important that they at least have been warned, that they've read the letter. But at this point in my life, it is not about what people think of me. It is about the future of my grandchildren. And I've got a 36 and a half year investment in this country. And I weep because, as I told you, Steve, on your program earlier in the week, we're living through a big con right now. All this concertina wire around the Capitol and the White House and all the National Guard, with no weapons, by the way, out on the streets of Washington, D.C. There is no threat there. There's not a threat. But we're being told that there is, and it's all about convincing America that we, the conservatives, we, the people that supported Donald Trump, we that believe in the flag and the national anthem and the Constitution of the United States, we are a domestic threat. This is a con. It's all a con. And what that means is that they are in the final throes and final stages, I believe, of what they think is going to be ultimate victory in this revolution. And you cannot deny that we're not going through a revolution right now, which is well-funded and led.
And there it is. Military guy to military guy, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin and John Moore, military guy to military guy, almost word for word, you know. And John, any comments on that?
Well, over the weekend, there was a reunion of Green Berets that I attended. It was great to see the guys, some I hadn't seen in 40 years. Others I've seen more recently, very dear friends. And there was a consensus among the men that we're in deep trouble. And these are men, pretty much all of them are combat veterans in one war or another, from Vietnam to Afghanistan. One guy just got back from Afghanistan less than 2 years ago. And there was a consensus among the Green Berets that we're in deep trouble. Of course, I concur with that. We are, in fact, in deep trouble. The communists see victory at hand. They have their man in the White House, who they own. Their woman is next in line, and she's not owned by the communists. She is a communist. So no matter what happens to Joe Biden, as long as she's in the chain of command to become the next president, that they will still win. The republic is in grave danger right now with what's going on in Washington D.C. I wasn't aware the National Guard is in Washington D.C. is not armed. What's the point to have men and women walking around in combat uniforms with no weapons? What is the point? I don't know what the point is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Other than to scare Americans. If that's the goal, I don't think that's going to really scare anybody, but that's what they think they're doing. So back to our listeners. We have active duty military listening to us. We have retired military. We have civilians who've never set foot in the military, all of whom are looking for answers. And the answers, ladies and gentlemen, is to educate yourself and inform others. Get active locally. Now, we've talked about this in previous shows. And that means getting active with Republican Party matters at the county level. Every county, at least in Louisiana, they do it a bit different because of that French history they got down there. But every county is split up into townships, and each township has a Republican committeeman and a Republican committeewoman, or that at least a position for those people in a central committee of each county, 3,300 plus counties. That's the power of the Republican Party. Not the tens of millions of dollars donated by big institutions. The real power is at the county level. Men and women who love our country, love our Constitution, love freedom, love liberty, and will work at the local level to make sure that conservative Christians are elected at the county level, at the state level for state reps and state senators, and of course for United States Senate and the United States Congress. But I can give you an example of how bad the ignorance is in this county, in this country. Doug, I've mentioned this before. A very dear friend of mine He's an Air Force veteran, graduated from a brick-and-mortar college, not some online or correspondence course, a four-year degree from a brick-and-mortar college, wrote a book about his chosen career, and has had a business with 8 to 10 employees for decades. Now, this is obviously a smart guy and a well-educated guy. And Doug, he did not know. He literally did not know there was a difference between a United States senator and a state senator, between a United States representative and a state representative. Now,
wow. Well, wow, I believe that. Well, wow,
I mean, how can you even comment on that? You know, how can you comment on it? Now, the point being, almost nobody in this country, percentage-wise, has written a book that's been published. Almost nobody in this country owns a business with a 8 to 10 person payroll being met every week. That's a lot of, that's some serious money you're writing checks for every week to have a successful business and write those checks every week.
You got that right, brother. When I wake up Monday morning, like this morning, I mean, I think, okay, by Friday, I've got to have X amount of dollars, you know, and if I don't, oh boy, you're right. Go ahead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So here we have a very bright guy, a well-educated guy, author of a book, successful businessman, who didn't know the difference, that there is a difference, that there's something different between a U.S. senator and a state senator. Now, I've also mentioned a number of times, Doug, the level of illiteracy in this country, the level of literacy and illiteracy. It's about half the adults in this country are either completely illiterate or semi-literate. Now, that's scary. Because, and I've said this quite a few times publicly for years since I ran for Congress in the 1996 cycle. The candidate, and it doesn't matter what election, it can be for city council or president, doesn't matter. The candidate who convinces the most illiterate people to vote for him is the one who's going to win. Now that's my reality, Doug. And I'll challenge anybody to take exception to that. Because the illiterate people who vote in this country can, will, and do or decide the outcome of any and all elections. And it's foolish to believe otherwise. And that's why you see these election campaigns have degenerated into simple, easy-to-understand sound bites. Now, a very good friend of mine, I've known this woman since 1994, she was the campaign chair for 3 presidential campaigns. She always makes sure that somebody else appears to be the campaign chair. She wants to remain anonymous. I was visiting her family home in Florida about 5 or 6 years ago. I was there 3 days, and 2 of her top campaign advisors were there with her. And I learned a lot, Doug. I thought I knew about campaigns since I ran for Congress, and I've been active in other campaigns. But one of the things I learned was that the way these candidates intentionally change their way they speak publicly from the way they talk privately. They change their vocabulary. They change their diction. They change the way they deliver these public speeches. And that goes back to something I started reading in the newspaper when I was in the 3rd grade. And I recall the 1956, I would have been 9 years old. What would that be? 4th grade, I guess, Doug?
Okay, yeah.
Edley Stevenson versus Dwight Eisenhower. Hmm. And I recall as a little boy, a 9-year-old boy, reading the newspaper, and said the following. Edley Stevenson is too intellectual to be elected president of the United States. And even as a 9-year-old, I thought to myself, how can that be? How can he possibly be too intellectual to be elected president of the United States? Well, now I know as an adult, because you can be too intellectual. At least perception, you can be too intellectual. And it's been that way for decades. These major campaigns, the presidential campaigns, and probably most state senates, U.S. senator campaigns, they all know this, Doug. They all know you have to give a certain persona to be elected at a high office. And not appear to be too intellectual. Don't use 4 and 5 syllable words. Don't do that. And appear to be the common man. Now, President Trump may be an exception to this. I never spent any time with President Trump one-on-one, but I have a high level of confidence that pretty much what you see is what you get with that guy. You know?
Yeah.
Because he does so much extemporaneous speaking when he's walking out to a helicopter or he's on the golf course or wherever it might be. So much of what he does is extemporaneous. So much of what he's done formally has been without a teleprompter. So Donald Trump, in many ways, Donald Trump has been the exception for a presidential candidate, maybe going back maybe a century or more. I don't know. But he's, never held public office before. When was the last, I mean, George Washington never held public office, but have there been other presidents that have not held public office previously? Possibly. I don't know. I'm no great student of history. Are you aware of any president?
I think just the first four.
Okay.
The first four presidents, I could be wrong.
Okay. But. Well, they were elected to positions in the Continental Congress.
True. Yes. I mean, if you count, yes. That yes.
But George Washington was not. He was never elected to any position.
Right.
He didn't. I've been to his home at Mount Vernon, beautiful old home, and I've been to Thomas Jefferson's home at Monticello and saw his library. I was really very enamored and appreciative of Thomas Jefferson's library. Anyway, getting back to the topic at hand, President Trump. Yeah, most likely he is the real deal. He doesn't downgrade his vocabulary, doesn't downgrade his public speech habits at all to have a wider appeal. That's just simply who the guy is. And, the woman I referred to a moment ago who had run three different presidential campaigns, when President Trump first ran, she really, really did not like Donald Trump when he ran for president, which was true of most of the main, when you run for Congress, you meet a lot of people, including a lot of mainstream Republicans, as I did. I would say many, if not most, mainstream Republicans did not like Donald Trump when he first ran for president, before he started winning all these primaries and became the candidate. And even after that, as far as that goes. Because he didn't fit the mold. He's a very raw around the edges in some ways, very aggressive, speaks his mind. The tweets that he put out were very confrontational, very offensive to a lot of people, and asked Donald Trump if he cared. The media still has not figured out what to do with Donald Trump. Donald Trump, the typical candidate or office holder, when the media hammers him, the candidate or the office holder cowers in fear. Not Donald Trump. Not at all. He just throws it right back at him. And they end up, the more that they attack Donald Trump, the more popular he became. And they still haven't figured that out. They still attack Donald Trump, and it still raises his popularity. I recall during the election cycle, Doug, if you and I announced a public meeting here on your show, we could probably fill up a hotel meeting room with maybe 300 people or so pretty easy, don't you think?
Tell you what, John, I mean, I guarantee you, me, and Steve Quayle got together. I was in the green room at Branson, Missouri, and standing backstage in Branson, looking out over 3,000 people.
Right.
So yes, I believe that you and I could easily fill a room like that or more. Yes.
Steve later apologized for not inviting me, but Joe Biden announced an event in, I think it was New Hampshire, when he was running for office. When the campaign found out only 60 people were going to show up, they canceled the event.
Really?
No, they did. Yeah, that was well publicized at the time. The fact it was canceled. Point being, there's no precedence for anybody I'm aware of, any presidential candidate, and maybe a rock star, filling up auditoriums like Donald Trump and then having these massive video screens on the parking lots for the people that couldn't get in the 30,000 or 50,000 seat capacity stadium to see the president, men and women who stood in line for 12 hours, sometimes in the rain, to see this man. That's never happened in this country that I'm aware of, ever. You'd have to look at maybe a Rolling Stones concert. You could get people to do that. But, you know, for a presidential candidate, that's never happened. He's a complete and total anomaly when it comes to a man running for that office. And it scared the hell out of the powers that be. No, I don't agree with everything the man did. His stance, like we talked earlier about the COVID and the vaccines, is completely wrong.
Right.
Not firing Fauci and Birx was wrong. But compared to everything else, he's a pretty great guy. If I can paraphrase, Obama saying it would take fairy dust or a magic wand to bring manufacturing back to this country?
Magic wand. Obama, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, apparently Donald Trump has the magic wand. Maybe he's got some fairy dust too. I don't know. But he did bring manufacturing back. And much to the shock and chagrin and the dismay of the communists, because the difference between a third world country and a first world country is manufacturing. That's the difference.
Hmm.
Third world countries export raw materials and import manufactured goods. First world countries import raw materials and export manufactured goods. And we were on the way to becoming a third world country because of financial incentives passed by Congress to have industry, to have manufacturing leave this country. It wasn't just something that happened spontaneously. It happened by design. All the EPA matters, OSHA matters, tax matters that made it created disincentives for manufacturing to be in this country and incentives for the belief. Donald Trump was reversing all those things.
Well, you know, John, one thing that wasn't it like a week or 2 weeks before—about this addresses the popularity of President Donald John Trump, okay? As Americans, we are told to believe that this was the most—November 3rd was the most secure election. Now, this goes back to what you were saying in this latest part here. Hey, nothing to see here. The election was fine, and Donald Trump lost. But yet, 2 weeks roughly, or a week before the election in Phoenix, the heart of Maricopa County, there were 95,000 vehicles, people with vehicles, or 95 mile Trump train, if you will. 95 miles worth of vehicles in support of President Trump. And we're supposed to believe, compared to what you said about 60 people had to cancel, you know, Joe Biden, basement Biden. None of this makes visual or practical sense, I believe. It just doesn't make any sense. And you're right about the appeal of Donald Trump now as kind of an icon. It's kind of funny. By the way, I don't know if people watch like old sitcoms and stuff like that. It's kind of funny to watch sitcoms from like the 1980s and stuff and see President Trump mentioned, oh boy, Donald Trump's, coming by, or referenced as this iconic figure of American culture. And 5 seconds after he was elected, or really even before he was elected, the entire media complex and congressional industrial media complex just tore the guy a new one. I mean, they were on the guy, and the intelligence community was on the guy, was weaponized on the guy. He couldn't catch a break, you know? I mean, it was just so, to what you said, yeah, absolutely, you know? And right now with the toes up economy by, O'Biden and, heels up Harris, okay? So, and Susan Rice behind the scenes and, Klain, of course, being the body man. What a mess. What a flipping mess, brother.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
The American economy is strong. The American economy is resilient. And we're going to bounce back. I'm convinced of that. Maybe I'm being a bit too optimistic, but I'm convinced that we will bounce back and that we will prevail. That's what I believe. It looks like my camera's a little bit out of focus here, doesn't it? But
I thought it was me, actually. I can't really see the preview monitors quite away.
There is a focus dial, and next time I get a chance, I'll work with that a little bit. But we need Donald Trump back in office.
We do.
We got not quite six months of Joe Biden. He's already wrecking the economy. 3.5 more years of this guy, and the economy will be broken very badly. That is the plan, to break the economy. And I really hope and pray, and prayer is powerful, ladies and gentlemen. I encourage all of you to pray for Donald Trump to be put back in office, that does in fact happen. And the national pride, the energy created by President Trump being back in office, for people to start new businesses, to reinvest in existing businesses, will be unprecedented. This economy will take off like a rocket if President Trump gets back in office. It absolutely will.
You know, here's what I think too, and I'm going to say the quiet part out loud, okay, John? And you can, now this is, I'm not advocating anything, but here's, again, I'm going to say the quiet part out loud. You met with, this past weekend, you met with former Green Beret soldiers. I mean, you and your comrades, you and your partners, in the military.
Team members,
right. Thank you. You guys are the best of the best in the worst of the worst situations. You went in there, you risked everything, your lives. And you fought for this country without even asking a question. I mean, yes, sir, you know, and you went out there and you did it. You put your butts on the line. Now, here's the quiet part out loud. And in the shadow of that letter from the 120 flag officers, in the shadow of the military constitutional speaking up, I'm curious as to when this will happen. When you will see the communist traitors in this country, you know, walking out of their offices outside, you know, into the sunshine, and from, oh, I don't know, you know, 8 football fields away, the crack, the sound, the report of a sniper rifle, and the simultaneous, you know, or the second after that, you see the head of a communist Marxist traitor explode, and this happens, you know, all across the country with globalist Marxist infiltrators, with people in government. Again, now I'm not advocating this. I'm just saying, asking that question, will this ever happen? And because you guys were in the thick of it, man. We're in the thick of it now. Now the enemy that you were fighting overseas a half a global way is here. That's my question. Now, hopefully we can get things done without any of that. And that would be my preferred way, because I like my way of life. But I'm just asking, you know, I'm just asking when that would happen. And if that would happen.
Well, I'm not even going to attempt to name a date. I would name a circumstance. Looks like when I attempted to focus in, I made it worse rather than better.
All right, folks, just squint. You'll be okay.
Let me move this thing a little bit here, Doug, and
no worries.
See if it gets a little better.
I'll sing some opera while you're doing that.
Yeah, well, even worse. That's okay. Even worse.
Yeah.
Well,
that's like me trying to read the bottom line of an eye chart. Okay.
Okay. Well, now.
Don't you just love, folks, don't you just love live stuff?
Yeah, well, what can I say?
All right.
We just have to
just
move
deal
on.
With it. Deal with it, folks.
We'll just have to.
We'll put your website up. Let's put his website up. That way he doesn't have to. Can we do that? Is that all right, John? You won't be offended.
Well, let me focus. Let me look at the flag back there and see if I can focus on the flag.
All right.
And that may.
There. Wow. All right. Join us, folks, as we go into. Oh, look at that. Crisp, sharp, then now, not so much.
It's more sensitive than I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're going to have to. I'm going to have to move out where you are. We're going to have to, like, have a studio, common studio.
Well, okay. We'll just have to.
There you go.
That's actually somewhat better. Okay. Well, the men I work with are not going to resort to violence unless they have no choice.
Right. Right.
It would take something very dramatic, such as United Nations soldiers on the streets. That would be a line in the sand that the men I work with would not tolerate. Foreign troops on American soil, regardless of the reason. Chinese want to invade Taiwan, and we don't defend Taiwan, and we don't defend Taiwan under threat of being attacked by China, for example. That might be another line in the sand. The Second Amendment, these men will not give up their guns for any reason whatsoever. A private source told me that the current head of the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, has said privately he wants to confiscate all firearms from all Americans. The men I know and work with will not tolerate that. That will be a line in the sand. Those are three lines in the sand that would cause the scenario you outlined to be a possibility, Doug. Hopefully that won't happen. If it does, if those lines in the sand do become reality, we will be in an open civil war. And there's plenty of people you and I know, Doug, that are basically saying we're at the edge of open civil war right now, aren't there?
Yes. And you know, again, folks, I said that not to advocate anything. This is more of a question in my mind, because you reminded me when you said that you had this reunion over the weekend. You reminded me, of course, how many good men we still have that are still alive, breathing, and capable of doing what needs to be done when it needs to be done, if and when it needs to be done, I should say. Again, I am not, folks, advocating this, but I can see a time shaping up when, hey, maybe this is going to have to be. And the other part of this, you know, we don't have a justice system anymore, in my view, John. And this does kind of relate to this. Okay, for example, on HagmanReport.com, I mentioned this earlier, there's a report from a Serbian website. I think I mentioned this. I don't know. If not, sorry. But there's a report from a Serbian website that was dated November 16th of 2020. And it goes into the people, actually naming the people, showing the voting Dominion and ESS and such software and voting systems across the country, naming the people who are involved in this. And the name that keeps coming up is George Soros. So my question is, A, why hasn't George Soros been arrested and all the people around him for crimes against humanity as well as crimes against the United States, number one? Number two, absent of that, if we have no justice or no predicate for arrest, but I believe we do, then why is he still sucking the same air we're sucking? Okay. Now, question two is where I was contemplating earlier, because obviously you got this SDNY and other places more interested in indicting President Trump to take him out of circulation. But again, so this is a kind of a complex thing that we're dealing with here, I believe, and you're dealing with people and military and And we've never, John, have we, we've really never been in this position before, have we? I mean.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
No.
Thank
no.
you.
I would say the closest we've been to this has been with the Franklin Roosevelt administration, which was just top to bottom full of communists.
Yeah.
Of course, Truman inherited that, including Truman's advisor on what to do or not do with the Korean War was a communist who told President Truman, don't give MacArthur a nuke because the Chinese have one or more nukes also, and they'll use them against us. It turned out the Chinese did not have nukes, and that advisor, in fact, was a communist agent. After his death, his private papers revealed that he was, in fact, a communist agent. But a lot of what we're talking about would not be an issue if it wasn't for Franklin Roosevelt and the things put in place for the New Deal, which began federal involvement in people's lives. Before the Franklin Roosevelt administration, the only government people were aware of or had any interaction with was the county seat, the county courthouse, not even the state house or the state capitol. Almost all interaction with government was at the local level. That all changed under Roosevelt with the institution of Social Security, the institution of federal welfare, the involvement in federal government and people's everyday lives. That all began with Franklin Roosevelt. And it just kept expanding after that. And a lot of people back then, knowledgeable, educated people, were very alarmed back in the 1930s about what was taking place, and articles and books were written, but they weren't paid heed, warning about the dangers of what was going on with the Franklin Roosevelt administration, who, by the way, wanted to pack the Supreme Court also, just like we're hearing right now, right, Doug?
Yeah. Yes, yep. Yes. It's incredible how, you know, the whole thing is incredible. Just like O'Biden in Heels of Paris and Jimmy and Rosalind, you know, that picture, how history kind of repeats the late 70s. And then you go back even further. Diana West talks about the FDR, like you're talking about FDR and previous, you know, Wilson and such, and the communist thread, the red thread that goes through history of our government. And you're exactly right, man. I mean, and folks, this is why you should listen to John Moore. Go to thelibertyman.com and click through on his audios. And you can get the archive, current program. There it is, the web presence for Mr. John Moore. And definitely listen to his shows because it's all relevant to what's happening today, as well as some historical infusion there. We need to hear this. So he's one of the few people, I believe, on the Internet that really has his fingers on the pulse of what's really going on. So I want to just kind of move something here because I don't want to run out of time. We've got about 20 minutes left of the show. So I want to go internationally because something happened here after President Trump had left and O'Biden, Harris, Klain, and Obama got back in by way of a coup. Now we're seeing Israel just being squeezed. Clip two is something that's very disturbing in London. And folks, if you have children, get them out of the room, okay? Because there's some language here. I got a couple emails saying, warn us when you're going to do this. So it's an 11-second video. And then right after that, if we can jump to what's happening in Chicago, because, again, same stuff, but you're not going to see a lot of this really on mainstream media. If you don't mind, John, play these two and then comments on this, because this is Israel, and we're seeing a very dangerous situation escalate internationally as well as here in the United States. Do you mind? Can we do this?
Let's do it. Let's do it. Absolutely.
Eric, take whenever you're ready. Rape the daughters of the Jews. Okay, where have we seen this before? This is that was in London. You have a Muslim mayor in London. The stuff going on with Israel and the Palestinians, and you see this. Okay, now let's cut right to Chicago. Go ahead.
In Chicago, there are calls for an end to the violence in the Middle East.
Long live Palestine!
Protesters shut down several streets downtown. The Coalition for Justice in Palestine held a rally calling for an end to Israel's violence in Gaza. Thousands of people attended the rally at Michigan and Ida B. Wells. They say the violence is terrorizing and displacing indigenous Palestinian populations in Gaza and Jerusalem. We spoke to a representative from the Midwest Israeli Consulate moments ago.
And I think the fact that these demonstrations, instead of being pro-peace and pro-advancement of the Palestinian people and saying to them, terrorism will not be the way to gain sustainable peace agreement in the Middle East. This is the tragedy here, because I would expect to see Israelis and Palestinians walk together to say no to terrorism. Terrorism that not only puts my family and friends in shelters and kills people.
Hamas launched more than 100 rockets toward Israel today, marking the deadliest day of the week-long conflict so far. Two Israeli airstrikes in Gaza killed at least 43 Palestinians, including 8 children.
And that's what they lead off with, okay? So, John, is what we're seeing today, by your calculation, is this a consequence of President Trump's foreign policy with Israel or a consequence of heels up Harris, Biden, O'Biden, and Obama and company?
If Donald Trump was in office, this wouldn't be taking place, first of all. I'm convinced of that. The gentleman mentioned 100 rockets being shot from the Palestine to Israel. Those are cheap rockets. I think they're probably the what's called Stalin's organ, which is a World War II weapon system. They're not even guided. They're just simply aimed in a certain direction, and they don't have much accuracy. If they paid anything for them at all, they're maybe $500 a piece. The Iron Dome missiles cost $1 million a piece. And this is from a private source, a private confidential source. What Hamas wants to do is use up, expend all of the Iron Dome $1 million missiles with their $500 rockets. And then the next wave will be older Russian guided missiles that have upgraded guidance systems, and that's more privileged information, that actually can hit what they want them to hit because they do have the upgraded guidance systems. That's what will come next after the $1 million each rocket Iron Dome missiles have been expended. Keep in mind that Hamas is backed up by Iran and Turkey, which has deep pockets when it comes to anything and everything to do with military matters, men, equipment, supplies, weapons, and so forth. This could spin wildly out of control. The countermeasure right now of the Israeli Defense Forces and Mossad is to locate these rockets and missiles and destroy them before they're fired. They're mostly mobile, as far as I know. It makes them hard to detect, hard to eliminate, but that's obviously the top of the list for the Israeli Defense Forces.
You know, I want to thank you for explaining this to me. That makes sense to me. I never heard that before. So you've got the Hamas munitions, the rockets, or the flea market stuff. The Israeli rockets to protect the Iron Dome $1 million rockets because of their accuracy and because and Biden also said that or indicated that he was not going to replace the Israeli munitions that were expended, so that's kind of interesting. So
well, that's the end of the line, because there's only one place those come from, and that's American defense contractors.
You're right.
Nobody else can make those. You can't place an order to some other country and get that technology, those missiles deserve delivered.
So thank you for explaining that, though. I didn't really
realize
that. Well,
like I say, it's not. That's from a confidential private source. There's nothing in the media about that at all. My confidential private source helped develop missile guidance systems. He got a phone call from his previous employer, a Fortune 500 defense contractor, 4 weeks ago saying, you need to come back to work for us because we're about to go to war. Ooh. And that was 4 weeks ago. So there's no secret at the top levels that this war was coming. No secret at all.
Okay, that's when you said we are about to go to war. You mean
we sounds to me like the United States is going to war. I hope to get more clarification on that soon. My source is working with this person to get more details, and I may get that before the day's over today. We'll see.
All right. Wow. And your thoughts on this, if we're about to go to war, is this something that the globalist, now this might sound like a very academic question until you really kind of think this through, but is this something, war in the Middle East, is this something that the neocons want? Or, because we'd be obviously siding, I believe, with Israel, I suspect, or is this something that, is kind of a necessary evil?
There's a lot of agendas moving forward at once, Doug.
Okay.
The depopulation agenda to murder a large portion of the population. That actually plays a minor role when it comes to war in the Middle East because war is not a very effective way to eliminate population. They make buckets full of money. War is the most profitable human activity that there is war. So, of course, they want to do that. Hmm. The consequences of this, let's look at the well-known letter that General Albert Pike penned about the Third World War. That seems to be inevitable. Now, my last active duty assignment when Special Forces was to conduct classified studies in the Middle East. That's all I did, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, was study the Middle East. I really got tired of looking at the name Mohammed, by the way. There's nothing new about the possibility of going to war. I was activated. I was put on alert twice to invade the Middle East while I was involved in those studies. So there's nothing new about this. This has been going on for decades. That was in the late 1960s, by the way. We've been at the precipice of war in the Middle East forever, ever since 1947 when Israel came into existence. The current dispute appears to be over the land that Israel acquired in the 1967 Six-Day War. The Muslim world went to war with Israel. They lost, and they lost territory. And now they're claiming that the territory won in that war by Israel was illegally acquired, which if that was allowed to stand, we would have boundaries all over the world change pretty quickly. If countries had to give up war they acquired by land, wouldn't they? Acquired by war. That's the way land has been acquired for many, many centuries. So that's a non-starter. If you didn't want to lose the land, you shouldn't have started the war, in my opinion.
Good point.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you don't want to lose land, don't start a war. Seems like a pretty simple thing to me.
Eloquently simple, actually. Yes, yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Just ask Adolf, how that worked out. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a hot spot. I don't know how bad it's going to get. Turkey is a big unknown. Turkey is a member of NATO and a client state of Russia. So they got their feet in both areas. Turkey is obviously, at least it's obvious to me, helping Iran, which is certainly in contradiction to the principles of NATO. Turkey's a big country, and a country that has rather large and somewhat sophisticated military.
Mm-hmm.
They're not up to our standards, but by third world standards, they're pretty sophisticated. And in fact, there was some controversy recently about Turkey receiving some very advanced weapons from Russia, some controversy about that. Iran, they've been at war a lot for 30 years. They were at war with Iraq, which was our ally during those wars. Saddam Hussein was our buddy fighting Iran for quite a few years. It got to the point in that war between Iraq and Iran that they were giving sharp sticks to teenage boys and sending them into battle. They didn't even have any guns for them.
Hmm.
Brutal. Brutal war, tens of thousands of needless deaths in that. So I don't know where my resources are limited in terms of how bad or how quickly it's going to get bad. It has that potential, though, of becoming a regional war, which in turn has the potential of becoming a world war. It's basically at this point, Doug, stand by and keep alert for what's going on.
Yeah. Right now, I don't think that, as I was speaking last night or listening and then talking, you know, John, I have this feeling in the pit of my stomach and, really all of my spidey senses are tingling at the moment that something is gonna happen. I mean, there are gonna be something or some things happen. And I get this, and John, this again, this is just my gut telling me this, but my gut saved me many times. I feel that, I'm feeling that there's, whatever's gonna happen, we've got a window between, I'm gonna say mid-June to the 4th of July, give or take a few weeks. And I look at this maybe like a confluence of events, you know, whether it be a supply chain. Your thoughts on that?
One of my Green Beret buddies Saturday says, John, something's happened at Memphis. He says, all barge traffic has been stopped at the Mississippi River at Memphis because of a structural defect in the Highway 40 bridge. It turned out it was only stopped for 72 hours, but there's a 1,000 barges a day that pass north-south on the Mississippi River at Memphis. If that was stopped for more than 3 days, the economic consequences would be dramatic for this country, absolutely dramatic. Let's keep in mind that the Muslim terrorists have not gone away. Now, here in my home state, Missouri, we had incidents where Muslims would go to a store and buy 50 tanks of those barbecue-sized tanks of propane, walk into a store and buy 100 cell phones, walk into a store and buy 200-300 of the same electronic toys, which have very valuable circuit boards in them if you know what to do with them. And those were well-publicized publicly about those incidents. We've had two Muslim terror cells in Columbia, Missouri for a number of years. We have a large Muslim community in the St. Louis, Metro St. Louis area, Kansas City, Columbia, Missouri, some in Springfield, Missouri. And how many of those people are just people that want to live their lives and be left alone, and how many are terrorists? I don't know. The FBI hasn't shared that information with me, if they even know themselves. The FBI has had trouble for decades for learning what the Muslims are doing because they can't infiltrate the cells that they've got. The Muslim terror cells are typically related by blood and marriage from a particular village in the Middle East. Penetrating that, well, good luck. Good luck. That's not going to happen. Mm. So if these cells are activated to cause destroy property and kill people, that's exactly what they'll do. And that's another brick in the wall, so to speak, to keep in mind when it comes to dealing with all this stuff, Doug.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And again, this is why, folks, listening to John, this is why I listen to his program every day. And I try to, at least every day. I miss one or two, but, you know, but I'll tell you what, he's got the best information, best sources, best discussion around, and that's thelibertyman.com. And speaking of that, if you can put the his website up again, and folks, scroll down, because there is some great information here in the closing moments of the Hagman Report. There's some great information on there. You've got your daily intelligence briefing. You've got, and one thing too, folks, those Patreon members also were asking about Sam Andrews, the Legal Defense Fund. The correct PayPal link, is right there front and center on John Moore's website. So Freedom Center USA Legal Defense Fund, there it is. And then of course, John's got an array of products which he creates or sponsors, okay, or sponsors the show. And I would urge everyone to take a look at what he's got on his website. That's thelibertyman.com. A wood burning stove with no smoke. Hey, that would be, I can tell you, that's going to be very valuable in times of, well, when you have to, or when you want to cook a steak that's illegal and, you know,
not have anybody know you're doing
it. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
All right. Covert operation.
Exactly. We'll call that Operation Filet. Okay. And then, you know, other things, like the water filters. You know, folks, this is stuff that we need to have in order to be prepared for what's coming. And then, of course, the information about the COVID-1984, the Communist Chinese Party virus there on the lower right, U.S. protests, riots, communist insurrection, panel one and panel two. You know, this information is not stuff you can get off of the off the mainstream media. So I would urge everyone to go to thelibertyman.com, bookmark that website, and to really support John, support what he does, and celebrate the fact that we've got a patriot among us, and a patriot that has walked the walk, and he's talking the talk and guiding others to do the same. And I appreciate you, my friend. I really do.
Well, thank you, Doug. I appreciate that. And I appreciate the work you do also.
All right.
Well, we need to continue doing our work. We need to continue working to inform Americans, educate Americans, so they in turn can educate others.
Yep.
That's the goal here. Our mutual friend Sam Andrews, he wants to train trainers so that they can take their skills that they learn at Freedom Training USA with rifles and pistols and become instructors for other men and women. And that's how the word is spread, by one person at a time doing what they need to do to educate themselves and become instructors themselves. Right, Doug?
Exactly. And I was talking to Matt Skevers last night, and hopefully he doesn't mind me using his last name, but he was talking about the feds going to Sam and saying, why are you training civilians on our tactics? And the answer, of course, being, hey, they're the ones that are going to, you know, save your butts out of the from the fire of, you know, the Marxist communist takeover and the things that are happening. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but that's the idea, you know. And we need more of that. We need more people to get with the Freedom Center USA, to get with John Moore. And you can book John Moore, too, to talk at your event. And I guarantee you, he's a good presenter, let me tell you. So there it is. But, John, we're about out of time, and I got some minor housekeeping to take care of, so I'm going to say thank you so much for everything
you
do.
Thank you, sir. It was fun. We'll look forward to doing it next Monday. Appreciate it.
Yeah, let's do it. All right.
Okay.
All right, John. Thank you. Now, folks, that was John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Again, thelibertyman.com. We only have a few minutes left of the show. I just want to thank everyone. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I want to thank you for everything that you do. And Rhonda told me something. Rhonda has a prayer group. I don't, you know, did I bring this up? Do I have it with me here? I don't know if I do or not. One of the very things that hurts my heart, okay, that makes me, I don't know, it gets to me, are the people who are listening to programs like this at home and are saying, you know what, I don't have anybody, I'm alone. The elderly, the infirm, the people who can't get out. What about me? You know, because there are a lot of people out there who are saying, hey, I got mine, too bad for you. Oh, there are a lot of people like that. But Rhonda has put together a prayer group and kind of a group where you can be, you're not alone, okay? Now, if I can find it here, just give me a second. Talk amongst yourselves. Let me see here. Here we go. All right. Because she heard me say this and she wanted me to know that this was out there. The subject, and I love this too, the subject line of this was, all the lonely people, where do they all come from? You know that song? But this is something that really touches my heart because I know some people like this. Rhonda runs a prayer meeting Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern time. And also a godly fellowship on Saturdays from 7 a.m. all day into the night. These are all Steve Quayle's friends as well that run this, okay, and that are part of this. There's also an elder care where godly men and women who call seniors and speak with them on a weekly basis. So Ron is actually doing something on behalf of those people who have no one. Maybe they were abandoned by their families or whatever. So I'm going to post in the episode description the following email address. Now, if you've got a pencil and paper handy, you can write this down. Morningprayerjesus at gmail.com, and you can get on the email list by emailing there. People can email there, and because no one should be lonely, no one should be feeling like they're alone. So it's morningprayerjesus@gmail.com. If you're alone, if you're lonely, if you want that cohesiveness among other Christians and believers, and at times have no one else, please send an email to morningprayerjesus@gmail.com. And I want to thank Rhonda for doing that because, again, there are a lot of people out there saying, hey, what do I do? What do I do? Folks, I want to thank you again from the bottom of my heart for being part of this program, for telling others about this program, for everything you do. May God bless you, and may God save the United States of America. Have a good night.